Go to page 54. Well, start. Go to page 53 first of the Haggadah.
What is the second Seder?
The second Seder is a celebration that begins the what's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Sometimes Passover lasts 8 days. The two major festivals, Passover and Tabernacles, last 8 days. Pentecost lasts 1 day. Both of the major festivals are a revelation that of the concept of linear time. Linear time is the seventh day, the eighth day being the resurrection. Except on the Feast of Pentecost, which begins the 1 day. We've been living in 1 day that's neither day or night ever since the cross. It began at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when the sky darkened. That was the end of the day. It's gone. Time is gone from anybody's standpoint. Now every element of the Passover ceremony reveals that. Now, it's like if you thought about Passover and Pentecost, it's really one feast that is tied together for a period of 49 days, or 50 days really, from the beginning of Passover to the end of, it's tied together by 50 days. And during that time period, Christ did a whole bunch of stuff. He was crucified, he was buried, he rose from the dead, and then he talked with his disciples, and then at the 40th day, he was ascended. And the reason he ascended on the 40th day is so that the disciples could meet the law because they touched the dead body. Therefore, they had to be purified in the temple. And they always left. It took 7 days to be purified. But in case a mistake was made, they always started 10 days early. So that's why he left. And at that point of his leaving on the 40th day of the counting of the Omer, it was a 10-day period, and that's when he said, go tarry a while in Jerusalem until you be imbued with power or efficacy or ability from on high. All that's done in the midst of this period between all this time is when the resurrected Christ for those 40 days, well, he wasn't there 40 days, it's 40 minus the 3, he personally, as the resurrected Christ, talked with, revealed. They saw him after the flesh before, and then he was gone, and you know, the eating of the bread and all that. And so this is, in terms of spirituality, this period between Passover and Pentecost, in the Hebrew, it's called the counting of the Omer. And it's always been that. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And in the midst of this is the Feast of First Fruits. And that's the day that Christ was resurrected from the dead, on the day of First Fruits. He was buried at the exact moment that the high priest, or the priests, were taking a sheave of wheat and cutting it down, which is the barley for the Feast of First Fruits. Now, does that answer your question?
Yes.
Now, on page 53, we've just said next year in Jerusalem. Well, of course, we've said we're in Jerusalem, so we have to wait till next year, right? Mm-hmm. Now, on the night of the second Seder, the counting of the Omer begins, and this continued nightly thereafter for 49 days until a festival of Shavuot. Shavuot simply means seeds, or wheat. Shavuot is the Hebrew word for weeks. And it's 7 weeks, 7 times 7, 7 completions. It's the completion of the completions is the reason for this period of time. You got it?
Yeah, what's Omer though?
Omer is the Hebrew word for sheaf.
Sheaf of?
Wheat.
Okay.
Barley. in this case. On the second evening of the Passover, there begins the counting of the Omer, that is, the counting of the 49 days after the sheaf of barley has been offered. The first counting begins at a late hour, since the Omer was reaped and prepared only at night. That means after it was done, you know, in the evening. All right?
Now, is there any reason for that?
We'll see. I'll show you. Okay. Today is the first day of Omer. This was, in type, we should be reading this last night, you understand, because Passover was Saturday night. Sunday, then, is the first day of Omer. You got it? You okay?
Yeah, I feel terrible, but what I'm thinking about is that the other night we read, during the Passover, we read, he who goes forth in tears, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless return, bringing his sheaves.
That was exact reference in the Psalms of Ascent to this process. Psalm 127. Let me read it. Once again, thank you. I'm glad you remember that. In fact, I have it right here. Psalm 126. What? When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Now the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. The great thing is the greatest possible thing. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bearing his sheaves or his omer with him.
Are we the omer?
We're the sheaves, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, this thing, turn to page 54. This is my favorite, one of my favorite things to do.
Rick and I are sitting there in the midst of the mess this afternoon talking with each other, and what we were talking about was when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like meant to dream. Yeah. We didn't know it was the same.
Yeah, I didn't realize at all it was that same song. That's the really neat.
Okay, this particular... this is a poem-like thing. And it relates everything that happened on Passover. Now, it leaves off some things. All kinds of stuff happened on Passover. Cain killed Abel on Passover. A lot of other stuff, and we'll go through this, as you'll see. Now, again, this is the beginning of the counting. We're counting because we are awaiting something. We are awaiting the completion of that which was done on Passover, which really didn't affect us. We were like observers. I mean, if you were in this time, if you were the disciples. But it became intimate to you, that act on Pentecost. His seed that was cut down was now shed on all flesh on the Feast of Pentecost. Not just Christian flesh. He is the light that lighteth all men that come into the world. That light, that seed, that sperma of God was shed on all flesh on the Feast of Pentecost. Now we're counting in anticipation the certainty that that will happen. And each time we celebrate these feasts, it's in the same way it was with Christ, it was an expanded awareness of what took place. And so that's what we hope will happen in this expansion of awareness. Each Passover will be better, each Pentecost will be better until there is a total and complete renewal of your mind. Okay, now, midnight is symbolic of the darkest point of darkness. Obviously, because it's the darkest point of darkness. But spiritually, midnight is also the darkest point of darkness. And I want you to visualize something, that it's only at the darkest point of darkness in Adam that God is revealed. Nowhere else. It's when I talked to Matt about this, and I've talked to Harry and Butch before, I mean to Rick, but all of up to this point, in terms of recording music and sounds and visualizations, they've used analog systems. And analog simply means that it's a sinusoidal wave, and it's a varying continuum. It's high or low, or in the intensity and the volume. It's a continuous thing. It picks up everything. Static, and it's all gray. It's either, you know, it's gray, and all the colors are there, and all of the possibilities are there. But now they're beginning to record digitally, and it's happening so you can see. It doesn't even do with how good some idiot can hear music or see a television show. It happened at this time for you, because digitally, every discrete point is either totally on or totally off.
It's like
and because it's totally black or totally white, totally on or totally off, then it's with great clarity. There are no shadows. There are no shades.
No static.
No static.
It's binary.
Yeah, it's binary.
Right. It's off or on. And that's what our position. It's hot or cold. My only job in this world is to make you see that at every discrete point in your life, it's black and white, it's on or off, that there are no more grays. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Bing hair has become wild.
Come here. Now, at the point of midnight is when it's totally black. Now we're going to see all the stuff that came to pass at midnight. I love it. I love this part.
You get to say it came to pass at midnight.
You get to say it came to pass at midnight. Now, if any of these things, now hear me closely. If you don't understand or know what they're talking about at any one of these discrete points along the line, you ask me. Don't, okay? Your job is to understand everything. Okay, now everybody says, wherever it's blue or in your books red, you say,
or purple,
whatever it is.
It's puce.
Puce. In Butch's book, it's puce.
It is puce, isn't it?
And it came to pass at midnight. Of old, many miracles didst thou perform wondrously at night, in the earliest of the watches of this night. To Abraham, the righteous convert, didst thou grant victory in the divisions of the night.
And it came to pass at midnight.
What does that mean?
I was going to kill you if you did. Somebody didn't ask me.
Wait, was that like the horror of great darkness?
Well, there's two things that are called the divisions of the night, or divisions in the life of Abraham. One is the horror of great darkness, when the sacrifices were divided mystically by the lamp, the burning lamp. And the other is when he won the battle over the kings.
When was that?
Genesis 14.
Okay.
He set that into divisions. Now, those kings represent your senses. And so Abraham in you is slowly dividing and then defeating your senses, so that you no longer see or feel or hear or touch or smell based on the sensory perception. You see through. You know that what is seen or heard is only a metaphor or a parable for what the truth is. That's what now Abraham is defeating and dividing those five kings in you. But it comes to pass at midnight, in the darkest hour of your soul.
Why do I keep waking up at 3:00 in the morning as things end?
The second watch.
Wow. And it's the halfway point of the day too, isn't it? Because the day begins at 3:00 in the afternoon.
The day begins at sunset.
always happens at 3 in the morning. I always wake up at 3.
Okay.
So you have a bad bladder.
That is Judge Abimelech. The king of Gerar.
Who's that?
You should mention his name a lot.
In a dream of the night. Okay. Abimelech was a usurper on the land when Abraham came back from Egypt into Canaan. And what Abimelech, what Abraham did is, again, Abimelech wanted
Sarah,
Abraham's wife. And so Abraham chickened out and lied about it.
Well, my sister.
She's not my wife, she's my sister. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's it.
Have your way with her. Well, God, in a dream, showed Abimelech at midnight that that's not smart. That if he would have touched Sarah, if he would have touched Sarah, he would die. Now, the same is true throughout the scriptures. Touch not mine anointed, nor do my holy prophets any harm. I mean, it's not smart to fuck with you.
No, that's why that guy got fired.
Well, it's on and on and on. I could give you, you think, it's not.
True.
It's true.
It is true.
I'm serious. I've seen it happen in my life hundreds of times.
Really?
Where someone was wanting to do me harm, and they got zapped. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You never have to fight your own battle. You can take that to the bank.
Yeah.
Okay. Thou didst judge Abimelech, the king of Gerar, in a dream of the night. Thou didst frighten Laban, the Amorite, in the dark of the night. Anybody know what that is? Okay, Laban, when Jacob went to get his wife in Haran, Genesis, okay. He went to get his wife, right?
That was Rebecca or somebody?
Yeah. Okay. And Laban did everything, tried to deceive him, did everything, tried to make him take another wife, tried to make him do everything, and work for him in a slavery almost. And then finally in a dream, God said to Laban,
cut that shit out.
Don't touch Jacob. And it happened at midnight. Okay? Israel, or Jacob, fought with an angel and overcame him at night. The fight began at midnight.
Jacob's ladder?
No, well, before that. And that's when he saw, and he called the place Peniel, and he became, it says, and as God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. You, in the flesh, are Jacob. In the spirit, you're Israel. And you'll have to, you know, as he saw God, then his name was changed. He died. Jacob died, and Israel came forth. And it's interesting. He called the place Peniel. And Peniel in the Hebrew means, I saw the face of God. And he can't see the face of God and live. So he died in Israel. That's what happens internally in you, in your pineal body.
That's what I was going to ask. Is that part of
the pineal body in you? The pineal body means the face. It's a small, in the human race, I got to talk. I haven't talked about this in this group either. The pineal body in the human race, it's not a gland, it's a body. It's the size of a pea, it's conical in shape, and it's the exact center of the brain. In all other animals, it's a seat of instinct. That's how they know what to do. In man, it's for years and years and years, they have thought it was the vestigial body. It had no function, it was a remnant from evolution. But I know in the spirit that once, when you finally say, Father, I'm yours without condition, that activates the pineal body in you. And from then on, the mind of Christ in your abandonment, you're guided by the perfect mind through that pineal body, just as the animals are guided in their instinct. Okay?
So Jacob is the planner.
Right.
Jacob. Right. So that's like, in the flesh, we try to supplant.
We supplant Israel. Yeah, the word Jacob means supplanter or usurper. Just like, you know, you've all tried to usurp the rightful owner of the land. The Antichrist has always done that. But now the land is given back to its rightful owner. You've been bought with a price. Okay?
Everybody understand that perfectly? Mm-hmm. No graves.
Digital.
And Israel fought with an angel and overcame him at night.
And it came to pass at midnight.
The firstborn seed of Pathros, Egypt, didst thou bruise at midnight. You understand what that is?
No.
Pathros is just another name for Egypt.
Really?
And the bruise means to overcome or crush. Yeah. And what he did is all of the firstborn of Egypt were killed at midnight on Passover. Okay? They did not find their wealth when they arose at night. It doesn't mean wealth. It means their heritage, their children. They woke up by the angel of God. They smelled his presence. They sensed it. They woke up, man and beast, throughout all the land of Egypt. In one instant, they woke up and their firstborn was dead. All their firstborn were dead. Okay. They did not find their children when they arose at night. This next one's neater than dog shit. The swift armies of Sisera, prince of Harosheth, didst thou crush with stars at night.
What's
this minute? We got saying it this first.
And it came to
pass at midnight. I want some feeling in it. And it came to pass at midnight. Okay. Sisera, and I don't want to, you can remember this. Sisera was a Canaanite general that was about to defeat Israel, and in the area called Haroseth. He was defeated by Deborah and Barak in the book of Judges. It's Judges 5, if you want to read it. It's a fascinating story. But it says he was defeated, that it's crushed with stars at night. Now, there's a great, great revelation in that we'll see. The reason he was crushed with the stars is that the stars, when you looked at the stars, what he wanted couldn't have happened. Let's go to Judges 5. I'll show you something. The Song of Deborah and Barak is Judges 5. Now what happened here is that every generation, every 40 years, there's a revival. And then a year or so later, they fall back into sloth. Okay, so now Deborah and Barak are the instruments, just like Haman and Mordecai, Esther and Mordecai later are the instruments to delivering Israel. Here, Deborah and Barak are the instruments of defeating their enemies. Okay, so the song of Deborah and Barak is really neat. That's all of and this is a song. Now, in verse 19, the kings came and fought. They fought the kings of Canaan in Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. Now, that's pretty heavy duty. Think about it. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. Now, what that means is, and that's why I want you, and it's so important that you understand the stars, that once you look at the stars with understanding and see what's promised as your destiny in those stars, then anything that ever once tries to come against you, you can stand there and just, you know, it's nothing. Nothing. Do you understand how the stars in their courses fought against the enemies of Israel all the time?
Yeah.
Because it was predetermined, predicted, the course of events in the stars that would take place. Not as we understand predicting events like Gene Dixon, but the idea that nothing can come against the seed.
Yeah.
the seed of the virgin, the coma, the desired one. You understand?
That was, you know, that was alluded to last night in the dramatization of Jesus of Nazareth when the Magi were talking about why they were following the star and this and that. One of them supposedly didn't know what he was looking for, and the other two told him that the creation of the new star, that there was tremendous effort on the part of the heavens to bring forth the new star, and that there was always a corresponding result on earth, and that it was going to be the birth of the king.
Amen.
The universe was struggling
to bring forth the king.
Okay, the next one. A Sennacherib, the blasphemer, schemed to attack the chosen city.
Where are you?
Back in the Haggadah.
I'm sorry.
Back in the Haggadah again.
Back in the Haggadah again.
Back where Hannah is a friend. Where
the rabbi is. Oh no, we've got another bit of dogs coming. Back in the Haggadah again.
No more drugs for you, Harry.
Kayam.
Kayam.
Brooklyn Cowboys.
Yippee-ki-yay.
You got to get him a bit of dog. Listen to this one. Listen.
Yippee-ki-yay. What is it? Yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
It's easier to do when you have a cold.
Okay.
Sennacherib.
And it came to pass at midnight. Sennacherib, the blasphemer, schemed to attack the chosen city. But thou didst cause his corpse to rot at midnight, or at night.
Corpses. How can he have more than one?
Those that he was in control of.
Who is this guy?
His sycophants or something?
Don't you know who Sennacherib is?
I don't know any of that shit.
I know it's not good in the scripture to be called the blasphemer. That's real bad design.
Well, he was the leader of Babylon when Daniel was there. And he fought against Bel. Huh?
He fought against
Bel. Daniel fought against Bel. We'll see. Watch. There's the rest
of that's the one where he kept trying to make the idol stand up and fall down every night.
Yeah. Sennacherib the blasphemer schemed to attack the chosen city, but thou didst cause his corpses to rot at night. The idol, Bel, and his pedestal fell in the blackness of night. Now, Bel is the god, was the chief god of Babylon. Bel is cause and effect.
So, what did he do about the corpses? Did people just rot overnight?
They just died and rotted.
In the morning, there was just this carcass.
Yeah. The idol Bel and his pedestal fell in the blackness of night. Now again, internally, you've got to understand, this is that area in you that is the idolater of desiring and knowing and wanting cause and effect. The reason you want cause and effect is because it can give you rightness. This is so basic to the human being that you don't understand you're doing it. That's why the battle is so intense. Please sit back. I can't. Or else do something. Or
I just thought about, you know, how that applies to me, or you know, relating it to something I can understand. And for me, practicing is cause and effect. Practicing will give a result. You know, I'll get better, or I'll succeed, or whatever. And when you said that, you know, it's to give you rightness, I thought, now how can that be? And I thought, any time that somebody comes against me practicing, any event or a person. You know, it's like, why are you doing this to me? Don't you understand that I've got to practice so I can get better? You know, it's...
Okay. And it's true in every one of your areas. I mean, each of you, it manifests itself different, but Bel, the idol, is going to fall at midnight in the darkest hour of your soul.
That's just like when you're at your wit's end or whatever, and you don't know, and everything... wonder why everything's happening the way it is, and you just don't know why it's happening.
Amen.
That's your darkest hour.
That's why, again, why I've always wanted to be on the radio. If I'm going to be, it's going to be that late night. I'm not at all interested in being on at, you know, 1 in the afternoon or something. It'd be boring as shit to me.
Why?
I don't know. But I want it to be when it comes to pass at midnight. That's when the people are hurting. That's when their idols are falling. That's when there's
can
be understanding.
Right.
Not when some, in the bright sun of a false day, when they're trying to do their own thing.
That's when there aren't any distractions to the darkness.
Right. Yeah. See, God has caused the sun to be dark. He darkened the sun on the day of Pentecost. So that the light that they think they're walking in is darkness. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Belshazzar, who drank out of the sacred vessels, was killed that very night.
No.
Oh yeah, to Daniel. To Daniel, the beloved, was revealed the secret of the vision of the night. Belshazzar, who drank out of the sacred vessels, was killed that very night.
Is he like the nephew of Nebuchadnezzar who was like a little dwarf?
Yeah, okay, go to Daniel. Go to Daniel.
Twerp isn't scriptural.
Why don't you... Yeah.
Daniel what?
Think two, just a minute.
First Daniel.
It's right after Ezekiel.
Yeah, we
September was here, she could tell us.
That's right.
Really? It's getting spooky.
There's a whole work on Belshazzar's feast.
I hope we don't have to amputate those knees.
Oh, aren't they dreadful?
Okay, Daniel 5. He's the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Mm-hmm. He gives the feast. He's disturbed by the handwriting on the wall. By the way, I know at the wall what it said.
You do?
What?
Mm-hmm. Me.
What so you're going to keep it a secret?
Why for right now.
Sun-kissed.
Huh?
What did it say?
It's wild.
I thought there weren't any secrets in this.
It was in the advertising.
Five gold
then.
Okay, but he, when Daniel saw, when Belshazzar saw what that writing was on the wall, he died. Okay? Now, he drank of the sacred vessel. Now, what that means, and that's why he was killed. What they had done, remember they'd taken all of Israel into captivity. And they carried with them all of the sacred vessels from the temple.
So it's like booty.
And yeah, they thought it was booty. And so this guy, the son of
Nebuchadnezzar,
who was essentially the god of the world, drank from the sacred vessel and died. Because he saw the handwriting of God on the wall. And that's what my job to you is to make you see how you are drinking from the sacred vessel wrongly. And that, well, I'll tell you. And my job to you is to implant, so to make it so clear that you can see exactly what that handwriting is on your wall. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
That you can no longer drink from the sacred vessel because the penalty is death. It's like Bloom says, everybody has AIDS because they've all drunk from the sacred vessel.
So why can't you drink from the sacred vessel?
Because you're not authorized to.
Flesh can't be
pressured.
You're
out. It's misappropriate.
Okay.
So what did he say?
I'm not going to tell you.
Why?
Kilroy was here.
Because you tell us when you're talking.
To Daniel, the beloved, was revealed the secret of the vision of the night. And it came to pass at midnight. Belshazzar, who drank out of the sacred vessels, was killed that very night. Daniel, saved from the lion's pit, interpreted the terrors of the night. Haman, the Agagite, nurtured hate and wrote letters on the night. You remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it came to pass at midnight. Now we're going to get interesting. Thou didst arouse thy power against him by disturbing the sleep of Ahasuerus in the night. Remember this?
The Palishushan.
Huh?
The Palishushan.
That's right. See, now you guys start to know this stuff, right?
Shushan boy.
Shushan. Oh, I gotta hear another bitter herbs coming. That is to rouse thy power against him by disturbing the sleep of Ahasuerus in the night. Thou wilt tread a winepress for him who holds vigil. Well, vigil. Watchman, what of the night? He will cry out like a watchman and proclaim, morning has come, and also night.
And it came to pass at midnight.
I don't understand.
Ahasuerus.
Remember, he was the king. You were at Purim.
Shushan Palace.
At Shushan Palace, he was the king.
Oh,
king of the world.
Okay.
Now, but
I don't know what.
Okay. That's where. Okay.
Yeah, what's the line?
You hear this? Listen. You're not hearing the most important part.
Okay.
He will cry out like a watchman and proclaim, morning has come, and at the same instant also proclaim, and also night.
Well, who is this holding vigil?
No, wait, let me go on. Let's look at the next one. You got to understand this. This is big time stuff. This is what I've been saying this for 3,500 years.
That's what John said.
Okay, look. We got it. And it came to pass at midnight. Bring near the day which is neither day nor night. Highest one, make known that thine is the day, also thine the night. Appoint watchmen over thy city all day and all night. Mayest thou make bright like the light of day the darkness of our night.
Wow.
I just can't believe that people could read this and not.
That's true.
Yeah. That's one thing that still came up that we also came up with. It's like, how could you read this? Because there's a famine in the
land. Okay, there's a famine in the land, but not of bread. It's the famine of hearing the word of God.
Yeah.
Okay, go to Isaiah 63. You got it. We're going to study these next, those two last ones.
63?
Isaiah 63. Now, what happens in a wine press?
Things get squished.
Things get squashed.
Grapes get squished.
And they all get melted together.
Squashed, squished, trodden down.
Mm-hmm.
Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, in thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat or the wine press? I have trodden the wine press alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. Now, go back in the Haggadah. Just keep stay in Isaiah 63. Go back to the Haggadah. The second part of the last section. Thou wilt tread a winepress for him who holds vigil. Vigil. I can't say that. Watchman, what of the night? Thou wilt tread a winepress for him who holds vigil. Watchman, what of the night? Now, you have to understand something in the spirit. First of all, Edom is simply another name for Adam, the human race. Esau is another name for Edom or Adam. Bozrah is the sheepfold.
Is the what?
Sheepfold.
Where they keep the sheep.
Where they keep the sheep.
So
he's mixing the metaphors of the sheepfold and the winepress. He's doing it with knowledge.
You can break the rules once you know.
You understand?
Yeah.
Let me read again. The whole human race is the winepress of God. Since the day of his resurrection, he's been trotting the winepress alone. so that that which the human race was created for, namely the wine or Israel, will come forth from it. You understand? Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who created the fruit of the vine. How does he create the fruit of the vine? What's the fruit of the vine? It's not a grape to hang around. It's to be crushed in a wine press so that it becomes one thing. Now let me read it again. Here it says, thou wilt tread a wine press for him who holds vigil. Who's holding vigil? The Father. Watchman, what of the night? Now, again, Isaiah 63. Who is this that cometh from Edom? Who is this that cometh out of the human being that was both Son of Man and Son of God? You understand? Who is this that cometh from Edom? With dyed garments from Bozrah. The garments are dyed by the blood. Though your sin be as scarlet, I shall make it white as snow. That is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. Nothing can stand against him, nothing in the universe. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel? Why does your garment look bloody? And thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat. Because I have trodden the winepress alone, and of all the people there was none with me. I will tread them in mine anger, trample them in my fury. Their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore my own right arm brought salvation unto me. Right arm, the word means, my own arm, Zeroah, the seed. My own seed, God is speaking, my own seed brought the victory. Or brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. You understand? That's what he's referring to when he says, watchman, what of the night? Thou wilt tread a winepress for him who holds vigil. That's the only thing that's happening in time and space. You got it now?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really interesting that right after that, it's like, it goes immediately from black to white.
Right. Now, then it's, huh?
Hold on. Can you hear?
He will cry out like a watchman and proclaim. Now, how do you call it? What? Morning has come. Go to Isaiah 21. Start earlier. Yeah. Prepare the table. Watch in the watchtower. Eat. 21 verse 5. I'm sorry. Prepare the table. Watch in the watchtower. Eat. Drink. Arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, go, set a watchman. Let him declare what he seeth. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen. Now the watchman here is the spirit of Elijah. The preaching. You understand? Mm-hmm. And he cried, and he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses and a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed.
And he cried, "A lion! My Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights. And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen." And he answered and said, "Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken into the ground, or unto the ground. O my threshing, and the corn, or the wheat, really, of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. The burden of Duma he calleth to me out of Seir." Now Seir is just a mountain, or the highest mountain, or the place of the high place in Edom, in the flesh.
What's Duma?
Duma is, this. it's a place in Edom. "The burden of Duma, he calleth to me out of Seir, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night?" The watchman said, and this is the definition of whether or not a watchman is a watchman. It's like I said before to you, the way you know whether a person is speaking truth or not is it has to be equally right for every time, for every situation, for every condition. You have to be able to speak the same thing to Daniel in the lion's den, or to the Christians being beheaded at Rome, or to the Christians or the people in the caves of Russia and China, as you are here, at any time, at any place. That's the definition of the gospel. It can't be anything different. Well, here, the same thing is true. The watchman always has to say this. "The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire ye. Return," return is the word shub. "Repent, come."
Wow.
Now that's why in the book of Revelation, the angel is always telling John, "Come, see, come, see." The morning, which is also the night. It's all the same. You understand? It's not time dependent.
Is that what, the morning and the night, that's what it means? It's not time dependent?
Well, it means much more, but we'll see some more in a minute here. Okay, now go to Zechariah. No, let's go to Amos. Chapter 1. Amos is a calling down of judgment on those that are around Israel. That's what the meaning of the book is. That's what he does.
Around.
Okay? Amos is, right before Obadiah.
If Obadiah
is... Joel is right before Amos. Okay, 11. "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with the sword, and did cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever." Now, that means he slew his brother. That's what the idea is that the idea is that you are exactly the same as the origin of your race.
What?
Cain and Abel. You understand?
Murderer.
You're a murderer from the beginning. You tear perpetually. That's all you do. You rip and tear at the flesh of the seed of God. And therefore, he will not turn away the punishment thereof. That's why in the hot seat, you couldn't get off until you knew you were without hope. You understand?
Yeah.
And he said, "But I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah." Now, Teman and Bozrah, again, the whole world is a sheepfold.
And in the sheepfold there's goats and sheep mixed together. And the goats have built all kinds of little palaces and buildings and stuff in the sheepfold. And God's all pissed off about that. And he's going to destroy all the palaces of the sheepfold of Bozrah. All the high places, all the places of security. You understand? Okay, now go to Obadiah. Right next door to Amos.
In front or behind?
Behind. Towards the New Testament.
Okay. What is for three transgressions and for four?
Well, in the original, in the Noahic law, that's the law of Noah. Before the law came, there were particular, okay, God's justice in all cases is continual. I mean, and it's always there. And God said, okay, in the first thing, he said, okay, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and you'll be cool. Okay, they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so God gave them time to try injustice to come to the revelation by their own strength. Okay? The only law was don't eat of the tree. Okay, then the flood came, destroyed everybody except eight. Right? By the way, the ark rested on the first fruit of what we're going to study. We were going to study tonight until we got into all this stuff. I thought this would take 3 minutes.
What can we say?
What?
The ark rested on what?
The ark rested on Mount Ararat on the day of first fruits. Now, when Noah came out of the ark, then there was the what's called Noah's covenant, and there were three, but really four, elements of that covenant.
Okay.
Now it says, "You shall not murder. You shall do this and this and this." And okay, so then God said, "Okay. Now, try to work it out, try to get the revelation just by that simple thing." And he got all screwed up. He couldn't do it.
So Noah was confused?
Or of course.
The people after Noah were
confused? Noah and everybody else.
Oh.
Noah means rest. The word of Noah means rest, but rest isn't your goal. Noah's like modern Christianity. They think salvation is the goal. Rest is only the beginning of the process, just like salvation is only the beginning. You're not saved for something, you're saved from something. You're saved from the world. Now, as we've celebrated Passover, you're pulled out of the world. Now you're saved from the world. Now his process can begin. Just as Noah, resting on the ark, the rest wasn't the goal. That was so that the goal could begin.
Amen.
Now let the games begin. Okay? And there's only one winner. Obadiah, verse 15.
What?
It's right after Amos.
Chapter 1.
There's only one.
Oh. By George Short.
Yeah, but it is heavy duty. You don't want to read Obadiah if you're smoking pot or something.
Keep that in mind.
I've never had
or on acid, man.
For the day of the Lord is near. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. That's the lot of the human race.
Yeah, that's not something good.
That's not good.
That's a woe.
That's a woe. You don't want that. That's not smart. You want to be judged by only one's righteousness. His, Christ's. Your response to God in ever and all cases, whether it's right now or at the judgment seat, is, Father, my life is Christ. All right? For as you have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. All right?
Talking about the vessel. Out of the temple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Now go to Zechariah. Keep going a little bit farther towards the New Testament. Chapter 14. You remember what we're talking about? We're talking about watchmen. We're talking about wine presses. We're talking about Bozrah of the sheepfold. We're talking about the night and the day that are alike. We're talking about the fate of Israel versus the fate of Edom or everybody else. That's all tied into this, and it came to pass at midnight. Okay, Zechariah chapter 14. Behold, verse 1, that behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled. Now remember, this is written 485 years before Christ. And it's talking about, it's prophesying, in the first place, the Jerusalem of the flesh, which was demolished in 70 A.D., so that not even a stone could be found that would fit on another stone. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And that's what happened on the cross when the earthquake happened. Okay? And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. You shall flee like as you have fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with thee.
What's Azel?
It's a place near Jerusalem. It's just a place. No, it may be, but I don't know it. But it's a place. And it shall come to pass in that day. Hear me now. This is critical. Otherwise, you'll never understand. That day, it turned dark at 3 p.m. when Christ died. Right? It's never been light since. Except to us.
Light shall not be clear nor dark.
Okay. That's right. There's only gray.
Okay.
You understand? There's only grayness. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day. We've been in only one day since the day of the cross. The last day. God no longer reckons time. He never did, but he let these people think they were while they were still building the architect's model. You remember the Melito's homily? All of this and all of the Israel and all the law was just the architect's model for that which is now perfect and it's come. And since that day, it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at eventime it shall be light. And in that day, that living water shall go out from Jerusalem. That's what's happened. But you are the living water, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Understand? Now, I want you to now compare in the same kind of thing. Go to Psalm 139.
Does this mean the rest of the half of that verse, it says half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea, in summer and in winter shall it be?
Right.
Should we keep that part?
No.
Psalm 139.
That means in all, see, the Jews only reckon two seasons. There's only summer or winter.
So it's just
seed time or harvest. There's no... They didn't recognize four seasons. And that just means that it looks like time is going on. Summertime and wintertime, seed time and harvest. It looks like men shall be marrying and giving in marriage. You know, da-di-da-di-da.
Happy animals.
Yeah, happy little sperm cells. But it's been done. It's since the day of the cross. He wasn't kidding when he said it's finished. Now there's neither night nor day.
Nor east nor west.
Right.
Nor spring or winter.
Right. We are the permanent residence of the seed since the day of the cross. The day of the cross has been the New Jerusalem.
God is all in all.
And God is all and in all. There's never been anything else. But you were deceived up until this point. You thought you were trying to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You thought you were trying to earn something. Because of the one great lie, the lie that Satan has deceived the entire earth with. So there's only one lie, and the lie of separation. What do you mean? When you tell these idiots this, the religious idiots, they'll kill you. Because then they have no more righteousness.
You're out of work.
They're out of work.
Amen.
You know, these idiots that are out burning books and
smashing
records. And
yeah, that was a while.
My collection got burnt.
I didn't hear about that.
Some Baptist church did it today or yesterday or sometime when we were gone. They were up.
They had a seminar on Friday on the evils of rock and roll, and they got so worked up that on Sunday they started smashing Madonna
frenzy.
And Prince. And
it's like a Beatles flashback.
Yeah, Beatles, the White Album. They got rid of the White Album.
Okay.
Why the White?
I feel better already.
Psalm 139, verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from me, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Okay, now let's go back to the Haggadah. Okay, now, I want to read you one other thing about watchmen. You don't have to go there, but just listen. Isaiah 62, verse 6. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Okay?
Would you target that for me?
Well, the purpose of people like me is I'm a watchman set on the wall of Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem. And I'm on the... That's why I keep telling you that this is the last gate on the door to hell. Because on the other side, one side of this gate, one side of this watchtower is Gehenna, the dump. And the other side is the New Jerusalem. It's as far as the east is from the west. There's nowhere you can go after this. You understand?
To the New Jerusalem or Gehenna.
Yeah, right. All right. Now, again, let's read these last two again. Thou didst arouse thy power against him by disturbing the sleep of Ahasuerus in the night. Thou wilt tread a winepress for him who holds vigil. Vigil. Why can't I say that? Vigil. Watchman, what of the night? He will cry out like a watchman and proclaim, morning has come, and also night.
And it came to pass at midnight.
Bring near the day which is neither day nor night. Highest one, make known that thine is the day, also thine the night. Appoint watchmen over thy city all day and all night. mayest thou make bright like the light of day the darkness of our night.
And it came to pass at midnight.
One more little deal. No, never mind. That's it. Now let's read the whole thing through in knowledge. You got it now?
Yes.
You got it now? You got this down?
I like it.
You like this? All right.
So let me ask you a question. When you said that it's gray right now.
To who? To the world. The world's lukewarm.
No, that's what you're talking about. That's what he's talking about. What was that?
Well, just you used the word gray, and I wanted to clarify what it was.
It's not gray to me. Hope it's not gray to you. It's black and white.
No, but you.
You were talking. It was when we were talking about not spring, summer, and not spring or winter.
It's gray to the world. Everything in the world is gray. There's nothing with clarity.
Yeah.
It's shades of gray, shades of lukewarm. It's not night or day. It's blue.
The world of subjective truth.
Subjective truth.
Exactly. If it was night, they'd call out.
Now, in Amos 5, it says that there is a famine in the days of Messiah. It's not a famine of eating of bread, but it's the famine of hearing the word of the Lord.
Yep.
They've got 10 billion Bibles, and nobody hears.
Yeah.
Okay? That's why the one crossfire spot. What would God say to America? There's a famine in your land, but not of bread. It's the famine of hearing the word of God. Yet you say, I am with you, but lo, I am not. For I have long since fled the staleness and hypocrisy of your structures. And like the wind, I blew past your ways and your systems. For I will not be bound by the ways of the fallen creature. My ways are not your ways. Learn from this and become wise in the wisdom from above. Okay? Okay, you're ready to read this that came to pass at midnight with understanding now?
Yes.
All right. Of old, many miracles didst thou perform wondrously at night, and the earliest of the watches of this night to Abraham, the righteous convert, didst thou grant victory in the division of the night.
And it came to pass at midnight.
Thou didst judge Abimelech, the king of Gerar, in a dream of the night. Thou didst frighten Laban, the Aramite, in the dark of night. And Israel fought with an angel and overcame him at night.
And it came to pass at midnight.
The firstborn seed of Pathros, Egypt, didst thou bruise at midnight. They did not find their children when they arose at night. The swift armies of Sisera, prince of Haroseth, didst thou crush with stars at night.
And it came to pass at midnight.
Sennacherib, the blasphemer, schemed to attack the chosen city, but thou didst cause his corpses to rot at night. The idol Bel in his pedestal fell in the blackness of night. To Daniel the beloved was revealed the secret of the vision of the night.
And it came to pass at midnight.
Belshazzar, who drank out of the sacred vessels, was killed that very night. Daniel, saved from the lion's pit, interpreted the terrors of the night. Haman, the Agagite, nurtured hate and wrote letters on a night.
And it came to pass at midnight.
Thou didst arouse thy power against him by disturbing the sleep of Ahasuerus in the night. Thou wilt tread a winepress for him who holds vigil. Vigil! Damn it! Watchman, what of the night? What? Vigil. Watchman, what of the night? He will cry out like a watchman and proclaim, morning has come, and also night.
And it came to pass at midnight.
Bring near the day which is neither day nor night. Highest one, make known, thine is the day, also thine the night. Appoint watchmen over thy city all day and all night. Mayest thou make bright like the light of day the darkness of our night.
It came to pass at midnight.
Amen. It's good stuff.
First night of the council. Just before early drop.
What do you want to do?
Does anybody have anything else to say? Okay? Take it large person.